finally get to wrap up this series where we've seen Daniel do just that. Time after time after time, he was a person that was willing to wait on God no matter what was going on around him, no matter what king was in charge. He was willing to trust in God and that God's ways was above all the culture's ways. Well, welcome out to Innovation. And today, as we finish off this series, I do, there's been a lot of things that have been happening, a lot of things that have been going on around here this past week. We got to celebrate. And this whole room was full of turkey and ham, not just the people, but this whole room was full of people that actually call themselves partners of Innovation Church. And some of you, maybe this is the first time of you hearing about that, but we do this thing called partnership, and the way you find out about it is through this thing called Next Steps. And it takes place, it's actually taking place in December on the first, second, and third Sunday of the month. And what it is, the first one is how to know God. And so it's basic Bible study, it's principles of prayer and connecting and actual ways to do that. So how to know God. The second one is called Know Innovation. And that's the one where you'll hear about partnership because we don't do membership around here. We call it partnership because we believe that we're linking arms as partners. And just like you and your spouse, you've linked arms and you said, we're in this together, right? And sometimes, especially that first year, it's really rough, right? And it's a nerd. Together. Hold on. Like we've gotta be a team and operate. And so we love to say that we operate in unity, honor, and trust. And so if you haven't been to any of the next steps, the third one is know yourself. Like God has specifically created you and wired you, and there's even a spiritual gift test to help discover how that is and then put that into place. And so if you haven't been to any of those, we would encourage you to go. It happens during the second service, and so you can come still to the first service and then go to the second service and next steps in the second service and figure out how to know God, how to know innovation, how to know yourself. But there's also all-in-ones where it's like not just one next step, it's one giant leap where you come together all one night and we just go through all three. And so those will be taking place as well. And so if you hear about next steps, make sure and pay attention and hear about what that is. But this past Wednesday, we had 82 people coming together as partners of innovation. Now that does count like probably 40 kids because we're fertile around here. And so we got lots of kids around here that we love and that we celebrate but we had 82 people coming together. We got to vote. There's some property that another development, right? Because there's everybody wants to move to Lafayette. I don't know why. There's this great church, and they want to be as close to here as possible. And so there's a proposed development, and they're wanting to continue 450 on, and they've asked us. And so our partners, like we legally have to vote on those types of things, as well as there's a financial council that oversees all the finances at this church. And instead of just me, because I don't want to have responsibility by myself, and I want to be accountable. And so the whole staff, they get monthly reports, the financial council does. And so there's people that get voted in on those positions. There's also some expansion plans and procedures and stuff that we went through. And so if you missed out on it, you probably got an email this week that described a little bit more about partnership. Make sure and check your email. If you didn't get that email, then make sure you filled out your Connect card where we could read it, and you didn't have your three-year-old fill it out. But we've got a lot of things. There were some sneak peeks for 2025 coming. We're still raising money for the Make Room campaign. By the way, if you haven't noticed, we're kind of okay in here, but go spend a Sunday in a kid's room, and you'll realize that those rooms get really tiny really fast, right, Cecily? And so we've been saying for just about a year right now that we need to make room for the next generation. We have like phase one, phase two, phase three planned out of like 9 more classrooms and then a gymnasium and then another sanctuary. But before we do that, we still need room to breathe because we don't love to go into debt for anything. And so we're trying to make room for breathing room. And so we got like phase 0.5. And that's like another, a separate modular for the foster closet. And so that allows them to be about six times the size that they currently are. And so this one's going to go and be a blessing to another church in another community. And ours is going to be able to expand and meet the growing needs of the foster care community in our area. And so that building, totally paid for. All the fundraising has been done. Mandy can raise money. Maybe I should have her talking right now, right? And so ours, one classroom, like the Innovation Kids room, is fully funded. That was $20,000. So that one, we have two of them fully funded. We have about $18,003, I think it was said, on Wednesday, that still we need to come in for that third building, and that's going to be a separate youth building. I don't know if you noticed, but there's been about 30 teenagers that just fill up the office space upstairs that take over, that are growing in God, that are growing in their leadership, that are discovering faith kind of without their parents. And I know some parents get nervous about that, but we're excited about that. They need to own their faith, especially before they go to college. And so they get to dig into the scriptures. And so we've created that space, but they're outgrowing that space. And so we're hoping to have a Christmas offering that Make Room is a big part of that. And then we're asking people to go ahead and let's get those buildings here. Let's get them anchored down. Let's get them situated. We're adding some new parking lot to get to those places. And so we're excited for what's ahead. And so you'll probably be getting an email about the Christmas offering and what all it entails this week, because after this service, or after the second service, deck the halls and Christmas throws up everywhere around here. And so you're going to come back next week. It's going to be all Christmas stuff, and you'll hear more about the Christmas offering. But I did want to read one last letter before I get back into the book of Daniel. And this is from Sunrise Church. Look, it has their letter head right there. And so they have been hearing about what we've been doing. I work out with Pastor Randy, and so he's a part of the workout crew, and we were talking about 2025 and what's ahead for us. And so we got this from Sunrise Christian Reformed Church. It says, Sunrise CRC would like to share some of what we've been blessed with so that you may be a blessing to others. It's a pleasure and honor to support your outreach and help connect those who still need to learn about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Please accept this gift of $5,000 to help further your efforts. All the riches and wealth come from God. He rules everything by his strength and power. Come on. That's awesome that a church would see what we're up to and say, we want to be a blessing to that. That they realize that they're blessed to be a blessing. And so hopefully that encourages you not only to look at yourself and say, how can I be a part of what God wants to do here at Innovation Church this Christmas? And so with all that being said, today, everybody say today. Today is kind of a rewind to week number one, because when week number one, we saw this character Daniel, and we saw how they were trying to find something wrong with him, and that they couldn't find any corruption. And that's what we read in Daniel 6, chapter 1 through 10. And so that's where we're going to be. And if you have your Innovation Church app, you can open that. And now there's interesting things in there. I added an extra one just in case you needed assistance this holiday season, because I know Thanksgiving table can be interesting. And so there's always a lot of topics that come up. And so if you go to the notes section, you'll see where it says, we're not going to take it week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then there's an added bonus in there for you where it says, we're not going to take it Thanksgiving. And this is the top 10 ways to steer a Thanksgiving conversation away from politics this Thanksgiving. And so it breaks it down just in case you want to use some of what you've learned from the book of Daniel. Now, the first 10 are like nice and serious. The second 10, I added a little bit more humor, just in case you need a little bit more humor at your Thanksgiving table. And so here's how to redirect, right? Responding to criticism of leaders with integrity. Maybe this would be a polarizing comment that's said at your Thanksgiving table. Politicians these days are all corrupt, right? And so your redirect is simply sounds like the plot of every political thriller, right? Like this happens all the time in politics, and it's not just new these days. But you know, Daniel faced a similar situation. He was the guy who refused to compromise on integrity, even when it was more popular to do so. If Daniel can keep his character intact, maybe we can at least try to keep our coffee orders simple, right? Let's learn these lessons from Daniel and see how you can diffuse even the conversation there. There's another one. This government is ruining everything, right? Right? Like we can say that. He says, I get it. It feels like the government is a bit like that one aunt who always tries to fix your life, right? Right? Daniel, though, was in a system that was just as messy, yet he managed to rise above it. So what is something that is in your life that you'd like to fix besides Aunt Mildred's advice, right? Like you, there's tons of ways to turn those conversations. And so if you have a Thanksgiving table that may get political, there's 10 different ways right in there to steer it back towards this book that we've been looking through, this character that we've been looking through that wasn't the man that was called a man after God's own heart, but simply lived after God. And now we're on king number three, King Darius, as who we see in Daniel chapter 6. And if you're in verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one who was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators that the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So because of who Daniel had been and who Daniel was to even to this king is ready to put him in charge of everybody over the kingdom. And there's always going to be people that are jealous about that. There's going to be people that are jealous about God's favor on your life. And they're not going to understand it, and they may even attack it. But your job is to continue doing what God has called you to do. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. I wish we could so say that about all our government officials, right? That we've looked at them and we've seen their lives, we've seen their voting history, we've seen who they've been, and they are people without corruption. But we can't. But we can say that about Daniel. It says they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, the men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Right? Many of us have heard this story about the Daniel and the lion's den and how he refused to stop praying. There was this decree made that nobody is allowed to pray to anybody except King Darius, and they were setting the trap. And I'm wondering, in our lives, has there been traps that have been set? Has there been ways that the culture has made it hard for us to follow after God? And which way will we choose? Which way will we choose? Will we follow the example of Daniel and choose God's way? And really, that starts now. That starts with hearing God's word and putting it into practice. Because it wasn't that Daniel waited till chapter 6 to choose God's way. He chose it in 5 and in 4 and in 3 and in 2. Way before the book of Daniel ever started, he was choosing God's way. So much so that it was a habit. So much so that it was second nature. So much so that it wasn't anything that he had to start doing. It was something that he was already doing. And is that happening in our lives? Is God's way something that's becoming our way? When we hear about God's way of whether it be handling finances or handling our spouse, handling our kids, whether it be about the food that we eat, the way that we spend our time, the way that we use our energy, is God's way really becoming our way? Well, how does that happen? I believe Jesus spoke really easily to it in Matthew 7, 24 through 25. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, right? That's a good way to start, that you hear the words, right? You're not going to know what they are. You're not going to understand what they are unless you hear them. right? This is why I still have the Bible read to me in the mornings, right? I press play, and this beautiful voice on YouVersion. You can even change the voices now, not to like Darth Vader or anything, but you can change the voices to something more appealing to you. But Jesus says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, and so right there is part of my job description. I'm supposed to be the one that helps tell. Some are you, are ones that help tell so that others can hear as well. But then it goes on. Jesus doesn't stop there, because many of us, we like to stop there. We like to hear it and say, oh, that's good, Pastor. That's really good. That's God. Good job, Pastor. That's great. That's a good sermon. That's great. It happened to Jesus. It happened to Ezekiel. Probably even happened to Daniel. He says, therefore, who hears these words of mine, and, everybody say, and. It doesn't say or. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say maybe. It says and. That's the conjunction, junction, what's your function. You remember that, right? Danny, you there with me, right? You remember that? No, you're not old enough. Ah, darn. Oh, man. Getting old up here. But it says, hear these words of mine and puts them into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down. Feel like the rain's come down on you? Does it feel like the wind has blown, the stream has rose at times in life? Whether it's last week or last month or last year or all the above? When those things happen, Jesus never promises those things aren't going to happen. He really says those who do hear and put them into practice, the rain's going to come, the streams are going to rise, the winds are going to blow and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And so how does God's ways become our ways? I believe Jesus lays it out nice and clear. You gotta hear the word, right? Be dedicated to hearing the word. That's what in Acts 2:42, when we see the disciples, it says that all the believers were devoted. They devoted themselves, right, to the apostles' teaching. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. By the way, we just did that, right? We're devoted. Some of you are here week in, week out. You're saying, you know what? I've got to hear this stuff. I want to put it into practice in my life. I want to get closer to God. I want to follow after Him. The way this world is going, I want nothing to do with. And so I've got to find a better way. And I'm glad that you've been able to find that here. You've been able to hear and you've been able to hopefully begin to put it into practice, because that's what we see. And it says that the church began to multiply. We begin to see that as well. And I know there's a lot of people, but can't I read it for myself? Yes, you can. I do too. Read the Bible every single day. I'm in God's Word every single day. But you know what I also do? I also listen to other pastors. I listen to other churches. Because you know what? I've found that I can put on my own set of blinders. And I can see what I want to see. I can change even what I want to change. But when I'm willing to submit to somebody else's teaching, when I'm willing to listen and to hear on the outside, because I'll never address my blind spots when I'm just the one reading, when I'm just the one listening to my own thoughts. Certainly, you can diagnose your problems yourself, right? There's WebMD, right? Everybody's jumped on there and you found out that you have every ailment ever known to man in the next 30 seconds, right? All because of this headache, all because you stubbed your toe, like everything's got to be amputated. Like WebMD will completely tell you that your life is going to end within the next 30 seconds. But when you go to the doctor and the nurse and they begin to start poking around. This hurt, and this hurt, and this hurt. Man, this past time, holy smokes. We got to a new doctor, and you know, like, you sit there, and me and my wife are sitting there, and, like, they're going through all of Mandy's, like long list of stuff, and then they get to me, and I'm like, well, no. Are you taking anything? Nope. Are you doing anything? Nope. And then they start to go into the history. Oh, and that's where it all changed, right? And then they say, well, have you ever had any heart disease? Well, I'm like, well, I haven't, but my dad died of a heart attack. They're like, oh no. my uncle too. And grandpa, and they're just going and going. And then they're like, any skin disease? And I'm like, well, my mom, you know, she had some skin cancer, and there's a big hole in the back of her leg. And they're like, well, Mr. Holden, we're going to need you to take off all your clothes. I'm like, what? And I have to just stand there, and they're just going, examining every little nook and cranny. I didn't know I had so many nooks and crannies. And they're just in and out. And we're going to have to send you, right? And then you're going to have to come back. Oh, lay down on this table. We're going to do, like, putting patches all over me and jolts. And now I got to go in for stress tests and CT scans, and all because of the history. Not because they found anything, but because of some preventative maintenance. Was that something that I wanted to happen? No, by no means. I did. I want to be strip searched that day in the doctor's office. But sometimes that feels the same way for you guys. I hear it time after time. And that pastor, it was like you were reading my mail. You like preached about my week. Like you just totally uncovered. But don't worry, because it's not just you. It's probably three seats down from you, three seats behind you. Like I hear that usually from multiple people every single week. But God has a way of when we submit to the hearing of his word, he goes through and, okay, all right, okay, let's deal with this history. Let's deal with this melanoma. Let's deal with this that was said about you. Let's deal with this that you watched last night. We didn't want to hear about that, but hearing is an extremely important, because without it, it says you have no faith, right? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That our faith is actually built up and strengthened by hearing the word of God, which is foundational for spiritual growth. Time after time, we see people all throughout Lafayette, man, pastor, I really need to get back in there. They don't even know why. It's because when you hear the word of God, when you hear it proclaimed, you're built up, and your faith is restored. You hear the things of the world, that's not exactly restoring faith. Your fear is restored for sure. But you can't just hear them. James has a way of putting it in James 1:22. He says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, because you're deceiving yourselves. If you're just somebody that is hearing it and never doing it, you're only deceiving yourselves. You're running off of this faith high of, oh, that was great, and that everything's going to change. Well, no, you still have to put it into practice. That's how you become. You both hear it, and then you do it. Hearing God's word is vital, but it must lead to action. Otherwise, it's incomplete. Daniel didn't just hear God's word, he put it into practice. We've seen that for the past 7 weeks. The time after time when he and his friends put it into practice, their lives were different than everybody else. Today, we have people that are putting God's word into practice. I know, like, I don't have anybody from first service, and that's because a lot of you wake up early. but really, a lot of the second service, one of the reasons we had to start a first service is because we ran out of room in the second service with people that didn't know Jesus. So we get to celebrate, I believe it's 5 people today going public with their faith. People not just hearing that they need to do it, not just hearing that change needs to happen, but obedience coming after that. There's a baptism, there's a baby dedication, that's a declaration that they're making action instead of just hearing it. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is a part of the Great Commission, where Jesus commanded his followers to be the ones baptizing new disciples. So many times it's hard for us just to even invite them. Don't worry, I put that really easy invite right on your seat today, where you probably like moved it to some other seat and like, No, that was for you to take because you know somebody needs to hear about the Christmas story and what it means to them. And so that is there for you to take. Because maybe you'll be the one that I'll be on one side of the baptismal and you'll be on the other. And you'll get to help make that verse come into play into your life. See, a disciple is one who is chosen to follow Christ, and it takes discipline. That's why those two words are there. Discipline, though, takes obedience. Many of us have felt the discipline in our lives from God. That's because, like any good father, he's trying to get us to obey. He's trying to get us onto the right track. He's trying to help you have a better future, right? It's like any dad or parent, right? You'll let them touch the stove once so that they'll know. You'll allow them. You'll withhold sometimes your own blessings so that they'll see where that gets them. He's trying to help you have a better future. Help you not blow up your marriage. Help you be the better father that you truly want to be. Today we have people taking steps of obedience publicly. But what steps are we taking? See, in the last six chapters, we've seen Daniel never starting a fight, never having an insurrection, never name-calling, never boasting on social media, never even trying to force the surrounding culture around him to be just like him. He simply lived out his faith. He stood firm in his convictions for his life. And when faced with doing things, when faced with opportunities to do things the world's way, he said, no, I'm choosing God's way. I'm not eating that food. I'm not drinking that drink. I'm not partaking in that. I'm not stopping praying. See, I wonder if Christians would just have a better reputation if we were the ones living our lives according to God's standards. And we're known for, yeah, man, that guy, I hate him, but he just responds to me with love all the time. He won't stop getting me Christmas gifts. He won't stop inviting me over to his house for Thanksgiving. He hears me when I talk. He even offers to pray for me. When I have nowhere else to turn, he's there and he listens. What if we compared our lives to Daniel's? Do people hate us because of our love of Jesus? Many of us think that it's our job to condemn the world. But Jesus didn't even do that. But our fingers, oh, they can really let people have it. Daniel faced opposition. We see these words of Jesus in Luke 10:19. It says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Don't worry, we didn't bring a box of snakes. I know, like that's been the verse, like especially in some places in Tennessee. Like, that's the verse. Like, okay, time to bring out the snakes and see if they're going to harm anybody. No, we ain't doing that. But will you face opposition? Probably. Probably. If you're just living out your life, following after God, I'm not saying shoving it down somebody else's throat, but you're living by an example, you're standing up for your standards. When we face opposition, that means it's time to fight, right, Pastor? Well, we don't see Daniel doing too much fighting. God's way looked very different. Jesus' way looked very different. They wanted him to take and overthrow the Roman government. and be our Savior. And he said, no, I'm here to save you from your sin. Not Caesar. When we see the opposition, we don't see Daniel freaking out. We don't see Daniel worried. We see Daniel do what he's always done. In Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel learned of the decree, of the law that had been set, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And he prayed. David, when he faced opposition, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:11 says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I've been singing that song. I will wait on you, Lord. Daniel's waiting. He's letting God fight his battles. He's letting God determine the outcome. But, all right, God, there's this law. I'm trusting in you. I'm waiting on you. If we're becoming, are we the ones that are actually pressing into God? Or is it just like the drive to work prayer? Like, okay, God, I need this light to be green and this spaghetti not to make me sick because it's leftovers and I left it out on the counter too much, but I didn't have anything else to eat. And so, like, all right, God, I'm running a little late. God, I need help on this answers for this test. Have we turned God into a genie? It was three times a day that Daniel was coming and bowing down before him and worshiping him, thanking him, probably praying for King Darius, probably praying for his government officials. And Daniel found, while he was waiting on God's perspective, that he got to experience God's presence. Daniel 6:10, three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. He sought God, right? We sing that song, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. Do we continually seek him? Continually press in to his presence? Look for his way forward through this circumstance. Not our own way out of this circumstance. Many of us want our way out, but God's way forward may be through, right? Your prayer may be answered because you decided to do the right thing and God protected you through it. What we see happening in Daniel's life. One of the best parts about Daniel in the lion's den story is that he trusted God and God didn't deliver him, right? At least seemingly, if you're reading it slowly. He trusted in God. He prayed. He got arrested. He got in front of the king, and the king says, kill him. Put him in with the lions. The hungry lions. God didn't deliver him out of the trouble. He actually delivered him through the trouble. God's way many times looks different than our way, but will we be willing to yield to his work? Be able to trust him that no matter what, that he is up to something good. That he is going to work. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Or we're like, okay, all right, the lions, okay, I'm going to stop praying. Okay, the finances, I'm going to stop giving. They got a little tight this month. Oh, I'm not going to do that whole first fruits thing. No, I'm going to give him what's left over. Oh, I'll fix this marriage if they start going to church with me. But if they're not going with me, then what does it matter? Are we going to yield to God's work no matter what? And see how he works through us putting his principles into practice in our lives. In Daniel's life, we've seen it time after time. We saw it in Scott Heidbarger's life. He's been here a few times and spoke. He was the one that pardoned by grace, right? He was arrested 17 times, right? Before he was 17, I think. Goes down to Florida, gets into trouble there, runs back to Indiana, but then finally puts an end to all of it. Starts following after God, is a man that is going back into prisons and ministering into prison, and then finds out that he can't go into the prisons anymore because there's a warrant for his arrest in Florida. And instead of just saying, I'm going to avoid it, I'm going to hide from it, I'm going to hide from the law, he submits to it and says, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to come clean. I'm going to stand before, I'm going to say, this is who I am, this is what I've done, I'm going to pay the price. If you've seen the movie Pardoned by Grace, you know that that judge sits there and listens and pardons him. But what if he didn't? We know God would have been there with him in the jails. Are we willing to do that? To do what's right no matter the outcome? I hope that we are. I hope that we don't revert back this Thanksgiving once politics comes up at the table and we just jump back into it and refuel it. And some of us probably have been refueling it already. We've jumped on the different news channels and we hear more of that than we hear more of God's voice. We got caught back up in the hoopla and the hollering and, oh, this person is attorney general and, oh, look at what they've done. And, oh, my gosh, can you see? Oh. Yeah, you can be caught up in fear and anxiety and stress over all that. Or you can live a life that God has for you and do what he's called you to do and know that you're yielding to his work. You're doing what he's asking you to do. And because Daniel heard it, many of us know the story of Daniel and the lion's den. He's thrown down on the dial and God keeps the lion's mouth shut. They open it back up and they see Daniel there, probably just, hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Probably got names for all the lions. This one is named Johnny. This one's Jerry. Like, what's up? How's it going, right? Sleeping on his lion's rug. Many of us know that story. But do we know that the end? At the end, that everything shifts, everything changes, because there was one man that was willing to stand up for God's truth, no matter the outcome. Daniel 6, 25 through 27, it says, then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. Right? This is after Daniel's alive in the lion's den. Get him up out of there. He's alive. And he makes this declaration. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion. Today, we get to celebrate with those who are walking out in obedience. There's a song that we're closing with today that is more of a celebratory song, because we're the ones that get to celebrate in the end. When it's all said and done, we get to be the Daniels that everything has broken loose. Everything has gone crazy. The world has come to an end. Right? You actually read through the Bible, and there's a book at the end called Revelation. But there's this last page where it talks about everything being all right. God is back in control, like he's always been. And the whole world sees it and knows it. So I asked the band if they could teach us this song today, so that we could go into this Thanksgiving with our head held high, knowing that we're choosing God's way. And because we're the ones that are willing to choose God's way time and time again and put it into practice, sometimes even before we hear about the lions, that it's all going to be all right.